Welcome back to Tivating Patiently, the appreciation podcast that highlights, dives deeper, and celebrates the work and accomplishments of our Tony-winning national treasure, Aaron Tveit. I'm Elizabeth, and while this podcast usually does celebrate and focus on Aaron, this week's episode is a bit of a diversion to Moulin Rouge as a whole and another Christian of the Rouge, John Cardoza. But to start, a little bit of Aaron first. April 2025 is turning out to be the month of Aaron. He is booked and busy with his concerts and performances, and it's going to be so exciting to see him back on stage. He will kick it off with Miscast on April 7th, and honestly, I have no idea what he will perform. And while I don't know how likely it is, I think it would be incredible if he performed a duet or two with one of the other amazing stars in the show, as well as perform something or multiple solo songs. Guess we shall see. Then April 10th, Aaron will be supporting his music director, Brian Perry, at Carnegie Hall as Brian performs his album, Few Words. April 19th and 20th, he heads over to make his London debut at the Palladium, which I'm sure is going to be insanely good. And then April 29th, he will join Tom Kitt at 54 Below for a concert focusing on Tom's work in shows such as Next to Normal. And then April 30th, possibly he may be traveling to Erie, Pennsylvania to perform at Mercyhurst University on May 1st. I mean, I'm tired just saying all of that, but there is so much goodness coming and it's going to be so exciting to see him perform again. But okay, shifting gears to John, Moulin Rouge, and this past weekend. By the time John's run ends on April 13th, he will have played Christian on Broadway for 6 months, and yet it feels like his run literally just started. When he left the tour after 6 months in September of 2023, it was because he was attached to the company of The Notebook, which would be coming to Broadway. It hadn't been announced yet by the time he left, but, I mean, we know how rumors are. And having him on Broadway in The Notebook was just incredible, but having him right up the street from the Al Hirschfeld made the hopes of him reprising his role of Christian the Composer grow so much more. And just like with Aaron's returns as Christians, rumors of John reprising the role after Aaron's 6.0 run ended, they started swirling. And once they were confirmed, the excitement just exploded, and I saw him in The Notebook after the announcement came out that he would be the next Christian, and I asked him if he would be bringing the Elephant Love Medley Shimmy to Broadway, and he said he absolutely would, as long as they'd let him. And his shimmy, it deserves a spot to shine on the Broadway stage. It is such a signature to his Christian. And the first time I saw him at the Hirschfeld, it was a result of a lottery win, and it was absolutely surreal to see him step out onto that stage and lift the sign. He brings such an innocence and a sense of wonder to his Christian, specifically in Act One. And that portrayal of innocence, it's so strong that in Act Two, it makes his descend into that madness so much more powerful. During his time in The Notebook, there was an interview that John did, and he talked about how, as an actor, you can't be afraid to be ugly and get raw with emotions. And I've always remembered that because the raw emotions that he displays in Act Two, from Chandelier all the way through to Satine's death, they take his Christian portrayal to another level. Like his eyes, his body language, the growls in his voice, the way he grabs and messes with his hair as he's losing it during Roxanne and Crazy Rolling. Like, I could go on and on. I'm so obsessed with it all. But this past Sunday, March 23rd, I had the chance to see his Christian again, and the plan was to go up for that show because it was supposed to be Austin Durant's last one as Ziedler, and I wanted to see him and John together one more time. Like, it was such a gift to be able to see them so much when they were on tour together, and then to see them again on Broadway. But however, for whatever reason, Austin ended up not being on for the show that day, which was a bummer that he had to miss what was his last show. but I was finally able to talk my mom into coming up to see Moulin Rouge with me. I mean, I've been talking about the show and Aaron and John for years now, so being able to have her experience it all and see what I was talking about was so special. And for John specifically, I've been talking about his shimmy since the first time I saw it on tour. So throughout Act 1, she kept leaning over and asking me when that was going to happen. And at the end of Act 2, after the Come What May reprise and the lights go out, she thought that was the end of the show. So it was fun to watch her be surprised by the finale and the reset that that always is after those heavy emotions. And while, of course, seeing the show was special, the cherry on top was afterwards. I had messaged John last week that we were coming up to see him in Austin together one more time and that I was bringing my mom and we just hoped to be able to see him after the show. And that led us to getting put on the list to come on stage afterwards. And while we were waiting outside by the stage door to be let back in, Marianne Plunkett from The Notebook, who played older Allie, she was also there waiting to see John. And after a few minutes, John's dresser came to let us in. And entering from this stage door, like you walk in that door and you went up one step and then right to the left as the side of the stage. And John walked across from the other side and he asked my mom and I to wait while he said hi to Marianne. So we were led onto stage by his dresser. And it was surreal to take those steps onto the stage and look out and see all of the audience seats and the confetti still lining and covering the aisles from the finale. But on the stage, the ghost light was on. And even without being all lit up, the elephant and the windmill were stunning. And looking out at that view, it just kept running through my head that it felt like walking on like holy ground. Like Aaron had opted up countless times on this stage. JoJo and Ashley Loren, they had descended on that swing. They had been up on the diamonds. Danny Burstein, Eric Austin, they had all bounded across the stage as Ziedler. Like I could go on, and I still don't have the right words to describe those initial feelings of trying to take it all in. And looking out at the seats, I was seeing all the different seats that I've sat in throughout the years in the theater to watch this incredible show, and it's just unreal. And John's dresser asked if we had any questions, and I had to like find my words to ask some. And I asked about the locations of the dressing rooms, and they pointed to where the dressing room tower was, which is street side where the swings get ready, and ensemble. And then they said there are dressing rooms below the stage along with where the band is. And then on the other side of the stage are the principal dressing rooms. And his dresser said that they were just filling in as a dresser for a while and that John usually has the same dresser that Aaron has had Scotty. And they showed how Toulouse's apartment set is stored off to the side of the stage, like kind of on a slant, and said that due to the way that it is, it doubles as a changing area for quick changes, like off to the side. And then I asked about Satine's quick changes, like going from the green fairy costume and into that Roxanne red dress. And they shared that two dressers helped to get Satine into the green fairy costume and back up on the swing. But the red dress quick change is stressful because it's happening as Christian is singing Roxanne. So the adrenaline is pumping as that music is going and Christian's performing. So the dressers have to really focus and be careful not to rush, but also get Satine changed efficiently so she is ready for her entrance to walk across to the Duke. And after talking with them, I continue to just walk around the stage and there are so many marks taped and labeled throughout that you absolutely cannot see from the audience. Like even from Can-Can, I haven't noticed them and it's incredible. And there are walls like of the set that are permanently up there on either side and like the walls of that are incorporated into the Momatra and the crazy rolling sets. And I couldn't help but like keep running my hand along them or leaning against them while waiting for John to finish talking. And after he walked Marianne out, he came running back out onto the stage towards us. And after embracing me, he turned to my mom. He asked me first if that was mom. And then he walked up and he hugged her too. And she raved about him and then asked how he's feeling about almost being done with his run. And he said it's bittersweet, but he's ready to be able to just wake up in the morning and not wonder whether or not his voice was going to work that day. I then asked him what's the biggest difference between portraying Christian on Broadway versus on tour, and he said that there's nothing like the intimacy of a Broadway theater. He said every touring house was always so huge, so he was constantly having to adjust to ensure that his voice would reach the back of the house on tour. And he said the intimacy of Broadway and knowing his range now has enabled him to be able to opt up as much as he has in Roxanne and make little changes here and there in how he performs certain songs. And after he shared this, I looked at him and I said I had a silly question, and he said, of course. And I asked if we could shimmy together on stage, and he said, absolutely. And he moved over to the part of the stage where the shimmy happens during Elephant Love Medley, and he just started, and I joined, and he said that there needs to be more shimmies at the Hirschfeld. And I love so much that he said yes, and we had that moment, because, I mean, it's no secret by now that his shimmy is one of my absolute favorite parts of his Christian. John then asked us if there's anything about the sets that we wanted to see, and I said I'd love to see the chandelier glasses close up. Like, I've always been obsessed with that prop, but ever since learning that there's like a button that the actors have to hit each time to light them up, the obsession has grown. And John wasn't sure where they were stored, but told us to follow him as he looked, and he took us backstage further and showed how the elephant dressing room set basically folds up like a pretzel and is stored back there. And the Eiffel Tower, it hangs from the ceiling, and we saw the dressing racks that are pushed out during backstage romance to hide when Christian and Satine, like, to hide them when they kiss, and then saw the Come What May chase. And he did end up finding the glasses, and even with not being allowed to touch them, they were so cool to see up close. And I asked him if he's ever missed hitting the button, like when he's supposed to. And he said no, but sometimes the button gets stuck and it stays lit longer than it should. And the last question I asked him was about the night that he shadowed Aaron backstage. And he said that he basically dressed in all black and he tried to just stay out of Aaron's way as he studied how Aaron moved about the stage and backstage to change scenes. And he said at intermission, Aaron invited him back to his dressing room, and they talked about their dogs and just life things. And he said it was really cool to be able to learn about the role from the person who had created it on stage. I mean, I'll forever be grateful to John for making that stage experience happen and taking the time after the show to talk to my mom and I, show us around, answer questions. He is one of a kind and just a genuinely good person, as so many members of the Moulin Rouge company are. And I recognize that seeing the stage was a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and I will never take it for granted. And it's sinking in now that this past Sunday was most likely my last time seeing John's Christian. Like, it's been such a gift to be able to experience it both on tour multiple times as well as on Broadway, and I'm grateful that John has had the opportunity to bring his portrayal of Christian to the Broadway stage. It is so powerful, and it's incredible that more audiences have been able to experience it and fall in love with it. And I just know he's going to excel at whatever project he takes on next, and this Christian chapter, it will always hold a meaningful and special place in my heart. So thank you so much for listening today and going along with the deviation from the usual Aaron-related episodes. Thank you for continuing to support this podcast. And as always, for more Aaron content, follow along on Instagram at @tivating_patiently and on TikTok for now at @tivatingpatiently, and hope to have you back here for episode 118.